This is Money in Motion with Klaus Financial, a fun and informative show designed to help you get answers to all your retirement questions in one place.
Right. Welcome back. This is Klaus Financial's Money in Motion. KLAAS Financial.com is website. KLAAS Financial.com. These segments are sponsored by Klaus Financial. And if you have any questions about retirement, call us live at 815-398-WROK. That's 815-398-9765. We're going to be taking calls all the way up until the 10 a.m. hour. And joining us here in studio, Steve and Malia. Steve, welcome back. And Malia, welcome back.
Good morning, Mike, and welcome back yourself.
Good morning.
Yes, we're so happy. It's been a while. I heard last week we did the, you guys did it without a host.
Yes, we did, but it wasn't as exciting as it normally is with your input. So we're glad you're back.
Well, we are so happy to be back, and we are tanned, rested, and ready. And I know
you had to throw that in.
I am tanned. I do admit it.
Wow.
We have. We should mention too. We're going to be giving out a gift card for Ruby Tuesdays to a caller who answers the Klaus quiz question of the week. We're going to ask that later on in the show. So make sure you're listening. The answer to the question will be given during the show. So a $25 gift card for Ruby Tuesdays. We'll give you the number for Klaus Financial later. But if you have any questions about retirement or wills and trusts or anything at all, 815-398-9765. All right. So how important is estate planning when it comes to my financial plans, Steve and or Malia?
Yeah, that's a good question, Mike. And one of the first things that we always point out when you're looking at overall planning, as we always hear us talk about in retirement, having your proper legal documents is another big aspect of it. But one of the caveats we always point out to people is that we are not attorneys and we do not actually write the documents. However, with that being said, we also recognize the importance of them. Many times what we're pointing out when we ask that question of individuals, we usually get one of two answers. One is, well, yeah, I had a will written in, it's maybe 25 or 30 years old. And I usually suggest immediately then to blow the dust off of it and see what it really says. Or secondly, that's manana, one of those things that I'll get to at some point in the future.
Manana, of course, means brother, right? No. Tomorrow.
Yeah, brother, I haven't gotten to that one yet.
Yeah, it's really important, when we're talking about your estate plans, we want people to reflect on what is it today? How would they like to leave what they have today to those behind them? Because when you are no longer here, you should have your written documents telling the same story. So it's just a really critical step. And one part of our retirement planning is that we look at how people perhaps can avoid major tax hits as they perhaps are going to pass away and leave behind a very large estate that would be subject to federal estate taxes. So, not everybody thinks that they have an estate large enough that would even be hit by estate taxes. But sometimes if you add up everything you actually own in terms of property, you throw in life insurance, which would be added into the value of your estate, you would be surprised. I think Steve and I, when we do the computations for our clients, we're surprised with the clients that, you might be approaching that federal estate tax level. Now, this is a number that changes quite frequently. If we look back just 20 years, the estate tax exemption level was only $600,000. Today, it's at $5.45 million. So what does that mean? If I take my house, my life insurance, all my investments, and if when I pass away or me and my spouse pass away, whatever we're leaving, anything over and above that amount would be taxed at a very high level, which today is at 40%. So 40% of anything over that amount, or any amount over that would be taxed at 40%. That is a big, big hit.
$5.45 million is that federal estate tax
exclusion.
exclusion. So just, I know it's bad to do public math. So let's say that your federal estate tax and all of your assets, all these things you add up together, is $6.45 million. The government would get $400,000 of that.
Correct. And so again, people go, well, I don't have a $5 million estate, so why should I even worry about this? Well, this is something very easy for Congress to actually pass at any time. If they decided they wanted to take care of, perhaps, you know, like we owe a lot, we should take care of our debt here as a country, we should be looking at, and they constantly will review this, as possibly reducing that exemption level. And I can tell you, it'd be very easy just to bring it back to a million. You're talking about a lot of dead people who are not going to argue it. Hmm. Perhaps their beneficiaries will, but the point is that level can change, not on a yearly basis, but it can change. And that's why you need to have your ducks in a row. You perhaps need trusts in place, and we'll talk about that a little later.
Yes. So $5.45 million, the federal estate tax, not limit, but what do you call it?
Exclusion amount.
Exclusion amount, mm-hmm. and that's assets, life insurance proceeds, etc. Mm-hmm. And that could they could add up to close to that if you're not paying attention, and if you're lucky, I guess I should say.
Well,
too.
Yeah, inheritance plays a big part into that too. Suddenly, you're thinking, well, I'm fine, and then 5 years later, you've inherited something. And as Steve said, people don't really review their documents as often as they should. And my goodness, that could be a real killer to the estate.
You mentioned trust. Does everyone listening, no matter what their total assets are, need a will and or a trust?
That's a good question, Mike. And for the most part, having a will is pretty important for virtually everybody. However, with today's environment on any kind of an asset that you have where you can place a beneficiary arrangement on, what they call a transfer on death, be it your investment accounts, your savings checking accounts, and actually even effective as of 2012, you can actually even put a transfer on death on your home. So in that situation, you're actually able to avoid probate, and you may not need a will. But wills will take care of property or anything else that maybe doesn't have a beneficiary on it. And then at times, there can be an importance of having a trust. Some of the differences there with the will, you're actually going through probate. It takes anywhere from 6 to 18 months to take care of that, even if there's not really any big deal going on. And you could actually have a cost of 3 to 7% of the value of the assets going through that probate court. So that can get pretty expensive and just delaying the process unnecessarily.
And forgive me if you said it already, but explain again, just remind our listeners, what a probate is exactly.
Probate is the court process where you're going in front of a probate judge who is then basically putting the stamp of approval that, in fact, yes, this is the actual last will and testament of the person that passed away. You are actually declared as the executor, which means that you can take care of and process everything that the will said to do. And you have the legal authority to do so on that basis.
Interesting.
If you have a trust, you're basically pre-probating your estate. You do not have to go through probate courts with a living trust. And then the trustee, which would act like the executor, will take care of everything that the trust says to do without having to go through the court process. So it's much quicker in that respect. However, trusts are more expensive.
Oh, they're more expensive to administer and fees and whatnot?
Well, they're more expensive to set up initially. So we see a lot of people hesitate. They go, well, I don't want to pay that much for a trust. And so we're not attorneys, but we work with a lot of them, and we will leave that in the field of the attorney to decide if the client may or may not need one. But this is definitely on our checklist because, as Steve was mentioning, you know, a simple will, these types of documents are very important. But even more so is the beneficiaries, as he said, listing the beneficiaries, making sure they're accurate. Because I can't tell you how many times we see people pass away and whoops, they didn't change the beneficiary when they got remarried and the money is now going to an ex-wife or ex-husband. Probably not what you wanted when you were still living, and it's too late. And those documents, those beneficiary designations, actually will trump your will that might be out there. So those are very important things to note.
When we come back, we are going to define the differences between an executor, a trustee, an administrator, and we're going to ask our Klaus Quiz question of the week. This is Klaus Financial's Money in Motion. You can call 815-398-WROK for questions at all that you have, anything at all we're talking about. 815-398-9765. Don't go anywhere.
This is Money in Motion with Klaus Financial, a fun and informative show designed to help you get answers to all your retirement questions in one place.
That's right. These segments are sponsored by Klaus Financial. I am Michael Coolidge. We, before the break, we're talking with Steve and Malia about wills and trusts and executors and trustees and administrators. And can you guys define the difference between who an executor, trustee, and administrator is for an estate when we're doing these estate issues?
Yeah, great question, Mike. We're going to define each of those so people have a clue what we're talking about. But before we move on, Steve had one more point we wanted to bring up about who should be writing these wills and trust documents.
Okay.
Steve?
Yes, very, very, very true, Malia. You always hear us talk about seeking professional help. And when it comes to legal documents, I know there are, you know, anybody can go out onto, you know, Google or whatever, and you can pull out a sample will or and or trust and kind of do it yourself. That's the one thing we really, really, really don't think is a good move, because if you do that on your own, you're not going to know if it's valid or not until you're gone, and it could be a really big mess for the survivors that are actually trying to put into effect what you wanted, and it could end up almost causing probate issues. So you don't really want to do it yourself. We're going to very much encourage seeking an estate planning attorney who knows what they're doing.
Yeah, and again, we're not attorneys, so we have nothing to gain by telling people that, but we just want things to be lined out correctly.
So like writing on a napkin, hey, I leave this all to so-and-so, that might not be valid.
No, we wouldn't advise it, although some people do that, but that's not our suggestion.
Right. So back to the differences between an executor, a trustee, and an administrator. A lot of these terms get thrown out, and you're like, well, what am I? Is it a big honor to be named one of these things? First of all, an executor is defined in the will, and the executor's and all of the roles are the same in that they go ahead and execute the legal proceedings of cleaning up the estate, so to speak, making sure all the assets have been accounted for, all the creditors have been paid off, and going down the line. So first of all, any of these roles, I'm not going to say is an honor to be chosen. I mean, the person who's named you into these roles believes you're honest, there's integrity behind you, and that's why they would like you to do this. You're usually not getting paid for it generally. It's just you've been willing to do it. And so the executor is named by the will. Now, a trust names a trustee, basically carrying out the wishes of the trust. So again, those are named. And if there's nothing named in the will or there is no will, then the court is going to name that person, and that person's called an administrator. Effectively, same function for everybody. So the other area besides wills and trusts, we like to spend some time on is talking about power of attorney. Power of attorney for health. Most people are familiar with that. They go in for an operation. They're making you sign some type of power of attorney of health in the hospital because you might not have one. So who can make decisions on your behalf in the case that you're incapacitated with regards to health? In our line of work, we want to see a power of attorney for property, which governs all of your investment affairs. And that person could make decisions if, in fact, you were incapacitated. So we've defined beneficiaries, the importance of having those, but the power of attorney for property is so important because, very honestly, we see more incapacitation than death early on. So that person needs to be picked pretty carefully as well.
Interesting. And executors and trustees are important to choose who that's going to be as well, right?
Right. Again, people think that it's some honorary great thing to do. It's something that has to be carried out. There are a lot of details, and sometimes when I see people, our clients, working on these, it could be 2 or 3 years before. I mean, I've got a client whose brother passed away, and he owns 20 properties throughout the world, and her and her sister have been going around the world literally selling off the properties. This is 3 years later, it's still not closed, you know? Mm. So, you know, like I said, it's something that has to be done, but not necessarily a wonderful job.
It can be a whole lot of work. And, you know, many times we'll see where maybe a couple will choose their oldest child, and that may or may not be the best choice either. So it is something where you need to put a little bit of thought into who would actually be taking care of that. And as Malia pointed out, just take a look at all the extensive duties and the potential time commitment that it could take. Could be extensive.
At this time, we are going to ask our Claus Quiz question of the week. And the number to call, which is also the number to Claus Financial, is 815-877-8440. That's 815-877-8440. The answer to this question, if you are the first caller to 877-8440, wins a $25 gift card for Ruby Tuesdays. And the question is, the Claus Quiz question of the week is, what is the 2016 federal estate tax exclusion amount? We talked about it pretty early on in the show. What is the 2016 federal estate tax exclusion amount? $25 gift card for Ruby Tuesdays for the first person who answers that question correctly at 815-877-8440. We do have time to ask this last question I have for you both today. How important is it to still be looking at life insurance in your retirement planning?
That's a good question, Mike. I mean, for some retirees, maybe with the value of their estate and their own income they have with Social Security, pensions, and or investment income, the life insurance isn't necessarily needed anymore. But again, as Malia pointed out earlier, if they have a very large estate, that life insurance death benefit may be actually used towards paying estate taxes. The other aspect there is if it's a situation where you have a special needs child and you want to be able to fund ongoing lifestyle for that individual, that could be a possibility. Or it could be final expenses. So it's just something to be aware of and make a intelligent decision based on your overall plans and goals for your estate plan.
Yeah, it's always important to review what you have in place before you're not here to review.
Yes. And that is, you know, really something that needs to be emphasized a lot. While we are all here on this mortal coil, it's very important, and this is the time to get these sort of documents in order, because if you meet your maker, like is the fate of us all, without doing this, you might make things very, very difficult for your loved ones that you leave behind. Unnecessarily difficult.
Yeah, a plan is always better than not having one.
Yes. You know, and that's a good point, Mike, too, because it's amazing sometimes when you're talking with clients about that, they'll come out and say, well, if I die. Last time I knew about it, I think we all will. We just don't know when.
Exactly. That is a truth that that so many people forget. You know, if I die. No, it's a matter of when. We all will. And unfortunately, as too often happens, people, you know, leave this earth before they thought they were going to. It's easy, quote unquote, if, you know, you're in your mid-90s and you have a terminal illness and it's like, all right, maybe I should get my estate stuff in order and decide who my executors are. My grandfather this past weekend, no joke, just turned 99.
Wow.
Awesome.
Don't wait until you're 99 to figure this stuff out. Is that a safe thing to say?
Very much so. I mean, look at just recently with Prince dying with no will with $300 million. What a mess.
Oh, my gosh. I didn't even realize that. Is that right?
Yes. No will, $300 million, age 57.
Oh, wow. Yes. That's you know, and that's someone who everyone knows, and that is a perfect example of that. Well, Steve and Malia, it was so great seeing you in person again at the studios, the live, I should say, Steve and Malia from Kloss Financial. Anything else you'd like to add before we say goodbye?
Just have a great week.
Enjoy the sunshine.
Yes, we will be right back on the Michael Kulich Show for any questions at all about anything we talked about. Go to KlossFinancial.com or call 877-8440 in the 815 area code, 815-877-8440. We'll be right back. Hour number two after this. Don't go anywhere.
This is Money in Motion with Kloss Financial. Securities by licensed individuals offered through Investacorp Inc., a registered broker-dealer, member FINRA SIPC. Advisory services offered through Kloss Financial Asset Advisors, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisory firm. Kloss Financial does not offer tax or legal advice. Any opinion offered during the course of this show is the opinion of that particular investment advisor representative and not necessarily the opinion of Kloss Financial.